Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. For several weeks now, instigated by that wonderful understanding of this Christian journey is presented in the 84th Psalm, and in particular, that fifth verse, which says, "Blessed is the man," excuse me, "whose strength is in God, and in whose heart are the ways of God, and this theme has, as I said, been developed for a few weeks now. And as we have given definition to that Hebrew word asher, oftentimes translated happy or envied, when it's translated into the Greek, the word used is makarenos, the best definition of which is privileged recipient of God's favor or grace . And we have looked at that word in several different places of Scripture. We declared last time that the evidence of the state of this blessed person is that they're a giver. I want to continue the theme today. I want to put it in reference to the gospel. I don't want to put it in reference to the gospel. I want to bring out the references in the gospel as proof of the activity of this, of these, of we blessed ones. Now, I'm going to begin where Christianity has its foundation, has its beginnings. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians reads, "Moreover, brethren," Paul speaking, "I declare unto you the gospel, the good news of God, which I have preached, I'm looking at a note, I wasn't planning on going here, but literally, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel which I gospelized unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. The better understanding of that, wherein ye stand, is wherein ye have standing. That is, have the right. You know, our court system, if you're about to take someone to law, first, it has to determine whether or not you have standing. That is, a right, which also ye have received, and wherein ye have standing. Now, I'm speaking to the church. I'm speaking to those people who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to the followers of the God School. And if this is the first time you visited our teaching, well, hang on. My hope is God has given you also ears to hear. Wherein ye have standing, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory . We taught on that word keep recently. They offer you a alternative in the margin in the King James. It says hold fast. We said guard. Keep in mind. If you keep in memory what I gospelized unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. The confirmation of the gospel is in the Scriptures. Herein is the reason for knowing the Scriptures, that our confidence in God may grow as we see His performance through the Scriptures. How oft have the Scriptures been perverted, wherein we are caused to look at our performance and not God's and not what He has done. We do our best. Not to pervert the gospel, as Paul complained about in his letter to the Galatians, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's what we teach here at the God School. We don't teach man's philosophy. We don't teach Don's philosophy. Oftentimes you've heard me teach or refer to my teacher, Dr. Gene Scott. I don't teach Dr. Scott's philosophy. I teach what Dr. Scott taught. That is the Word of God. If we went down to the 20th verse of this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." We talked about first fruits. Christ is the first fruits. What's behind this Christian journey? This is the past, how that Christ died for our sins. Paul puts it in Galatians, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now is Christ risen? That's past. Paul will end this chapter by saying, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." When? In the future. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." So in this gospel, we have the past, that Christ died for our sins and is raised again. That's proof. It's the only proof he offered in his life that he was who he said he was, that he would raise up on the third day. And he did. And our hope, that which is in the future, that the same Spirit, the Romans letter tells us, that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies, which Paul is talking about here at the close of the 15th chapter of Corinthians. We got the past. We got the future. What about the now? There's no chapter and verse in the original scriptures. Paul immediately moves from speaking of the past, the resurrection of Christ, to the speaking of the future, our putting on incorruption and our putting on immortality. And then he says, now, our Bibles, opening of the 16th chapter of Corinthians. Now, concerning the collection. Oh, Don, you had me going. That gospel that Christ died for my sins, yay, 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 that I'll be raised again in incorruption and immortality, yay, yay, yay. But now, concerning the collection. In the Gospel of Mark, I want to read in the 14th chapter, it opens and it says, "And after 2 days was the feast of Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Because if Christ died on the Passover, which was a type, the feast of Passover, a type and shadow and the substance, even the priests knew was Messiah. And it would give credence and evidence to what many people claimed of Christ. And they said, but not on the feast day, but they couldn't help themselves because God had set times. And Christ did die according to the feast or set times of God on the Passover. We've taught on it. Now, being a couple days before his death, it says in the third verse, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? It was very precious. And they reasoned, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Now, this story can be found in all four Gospels. Not every Gospel is the same. It all contains the essential message. But this is in all four, which is unique. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. And he went on to say, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me you have not always. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. The ninth verse says, verily, or truly, or without a doubt, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial unto her. The gospel. The work of Christ. evidenced. By the Ark of the Covenant, the whole Ark of the Covenant is in type and symbol and shadow a picture of Christ, the mercy seat is that type or evidence of the work of Christ. Wherein those cherubim are imaged as having folded wings, as opposed to those who, after Adam and Eve were removed from the garden, stood at the entrance to the garden with drawn swords, keeping man separated from God, now pictured on the mercy seat with folded wings because of what Christ has done . We are now able to commune with God again. Better put, God is able to commune with us again, because our sins, which separated us from Him, have been covered by the work of Christ. And if you would go and read, I wasn't going here, but I'm here, so we're going to continue. If you would go and read in the 25th chapter, of Exodus, in Moses describing first the building of the Ark of the Covenant, and it says, and in the 10th verse, and a cubit and a half, the height thereof, and he goes on, and in the next 13, 12 verses, he describes how well, let's just continue on. My attention is drawn. If we go to the 21st verse, speaking of this Ark of the Covenant, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee, and there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. And the 23rd verse opens and it says, and thou shalt also . It's a conjunction. God has described in type the work of Christ, and he puts a conjunction in this work, and he says, thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. And a cubit and a half the height. It's this table of showbread is what he's describing next, in conjunction with the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, the work of Christ. And he says, thou shalt also, and he lifts the table of showbread. What was the table of showbread? It was the place where the children of Israel each week would take from that which they received from God and supply 12 loaves for the tabernacle, the house of God. And buy it. Give recognition to God as the supplier of all that they have. What are you saying, Don? I'm not saying it. God has said it. Now, none of us are going to be elevated to be Christ. But as to the work of Christ, God elevated giving on our part on equal footing, on equal height to the work of God. Well, I've never heard anything like that before in my life. Well, if you haven't, sit down a while, because maybe, just maybe, the good news of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which are one and the same, maybe you've never heard it as described in the Gospels. Jesus said, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for her for a memorial. God, Jesus Christ, is saying that when the gospel is delivered, we are to also tell what this woman has done in response to the gospel. This fourth verse of Mark 14 says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. You got to read all four accounts. You'll read in Matthew 26, in Luke 7, And in the 12th chapter of John. And in the 12th chapter of John, he gets more specific and he says the one who was leading the murmuring, if not the only one who was murmuring, was Judas. And he tells us, not because he cared so much for the poor, but he was the keeper of the bag. He wanted the money in his own purse. He wanted it here and now. And Paul in Corinthians 16 says, now concerning the collection, Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, tell the response, what this woman has done. Folks, we have a contrast going on here, and that contrast is time, here and now, versus eternity. And that blessed one whose strength is in God and in whose heart are the ways of God has eternity in their heart. And are not so much mindful of here and now as the world is mindful of here and now. But the Christian has eternity in view. Paul says in 20th chapter of the book of Acts, says, in the 35th verse, I've showed you all things. How that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Same word, Magdalenos. Privileged recipient of God's favor, a description now is given of that man, the man. He's a giver. It's more evidence of that blessed state, no part of which ever changes, to give than to receive. Now, You know, I read that, and you know, the Bible, my Bible, has marginal references. And I was looking, Paul says, Jesus said this. Well, I have to tell you, I couldn't find those exact words in Scripture coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ. The marginal reference takes us to the 10th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus is giving instructions to his disciples, and he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely give. Not talking today to give this assembly of God's people instruction. I'm talking today to give you encouragement. To give you evidence, undisputable, of the indwelling of the life of Christ in you, as we referenced last week, going to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul says, you know, here's the proof. If the Spirit of God is in you, you'll be a giver and do it hilariously, not grudgingly, not as, well, if I have to. Not out of a need, I think once in 8 years, I've spoken of an, almost nine now, I've spoken of a need here, and many of you, most of you responded immediately, I'm not speaking of any need here. I'm speaking of God's grace in you. If it be in you, you're a giver. I want to make one more reference. And then I'm going to close today's message. Jesus, in the 13th chapter of Matthew, gives us that parable of the sower and the seed. And we said, in the opening message for this year, about the obedience of faith, and gave the etymology of that English word obedience, how it comes via the Latin being two words, ob, to run, dience, to that which is being said, or to the sayer, that is, to hearken diligently, to run to the voice of the sayer. And it speaks of those who have ears. And I'm not going into the parable today. I think I will sooner than later. But in the 16th verse, it says, Jesus speaking, but blessed, Makarenos, privileged recipient of God's favor, are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. This blessed state is capacity to receive. And clearly, in this parable of the sower and the seed, is the understanding that is not available to everyone. This is not an easy message to give. I'd much rather stop and all day and talk about how what the work of Jesus Christ was. How that he took his sins upon, took our sins, my sins upon himself. And carried them away. How that by his grace I am saved. How glorious is our Savior. But the Apostle Paul and Jesus Christ himself makes it clear that there is to be a response to this gospel. And the response is the recognition that all we have comes from God. And I'm speaking to encourage those who do participate in the God School that your participation is evidence of that indwelling of God in you. And he, which has begun a good work in you, which Paul tells us in the opening chapter of Philippians, in response to the giving of the Philippians to their teacher, he says, he that has begun a good work in you shall continue or make it complete unto the day of Jesus Christ. And that's the God School for today.